whether it be Churches of Christ or Presbyterian or Methodist, continue to see a decline, or at least not increase. They may continue to you know, basically their children and kind of a remain somewhat steady, but they're certainly not growing the way that some of them were in the past. And you know, you have seen a growth in Bible churches, and you know, people have left traditional denominations to go to Bible churches, which may well be a good thing. But there is, especially among the younger generation, there's a large number of people out there that just don't find religion very important to them. And I think you can see some of the changes in our culture today, and I hate that this is one I keep coming back to, but I think about when I was in high school. But, you know, if you would have told me 30 years ago that when I was in high school that within 30 years homosexual marriage would be accepted across the U.S., I would have been very surprised. I would not have thought that in the late 1980s. I mean, it you know, the views were much different then. You know, and I read a few years ago some polls from Gallup of views towards homosexuality and particularly homosexual marriage through the years and the way it's changed. In 1996, which is a little over 20 years ago, 27% when asked across the United States were for homosexual marriage, 68% were against it. Even as recently as 2010, 44% were for the legalization of homosexual marriages, 53% were against it. And then now in 2018, the polls say that 67% in our nation are for it and only 31% against it. But there's been, you know, in the last 20 years, there's been quite a swap on that issue. And it's not just the fact whether you're for or against homosexual marriage. I mean, I don't think we can be too concerned about the laws of our nation. The church was always meant to be a counterculture, and you know, it's not of this world, and we live by our own values, and the church is supposed to be the church. But you have situations like the case in Colorado of a Christian baker who didn't want to design a cake, a wedding cake, for a homosexual couple. And he said, I'll sell you anything else in the store. If you want to buy a cake from me, you know, an undecorated cake, I'll do that. If you want to buy anything else, I just, you know, I feel personally my religious beliefs are that this is wrong, and so I don't want to design a cake for this reason. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and of course he eventually won at the Supreme Court in some sense. But you know, it couldn't be something, you know, they wouldn't just say, okay, we'll go to another shop where they're more comfortable with it and get it from them. But they decided to take the case to court. But it's staggering to me how fast our views have changed on this issue. And I even remember a couple years ago making the point after this happened and this whole issue, the issue that followed on the footsteps, the transgender issue, I made the comment from this pulpit, have we lost our minds? And then I look at it now and it's accepted by and large. I mean, I think you see similar percentages towards homosexuality on the transgender issue that to me is... It's surprising how fast that followed and how easily that has been accepted, but the idea that people could have their own gender identity and change their sex and things like that, which you actually cannot completely do biologically. You still have XY chromosomes or vice versa. You can't change your chromosomes, and a doctor who's actually operating on somebody still would, especially in the abdominal region, still wants to know what you were born as if they're going to do surgery, because it's going to make a difference how they approach it. That's an aside, but you can't really totally change that. But and I hate getting on those issues, because really probably a bigger issue for most young people, because most young people are heterosexual, is still, you know, still really has to do with just moral purity in general. And moral purity in general is not seen as important by many young people today. I think of ACU in the late 1990s when I went there to finish up my undergrad just for the last year, and there was a billboard that said virgin is not a dirty word. And my, you know, what crossed my mind in looking at that billboard is, what does it say about our society that you would even have a billboard saying that, that virgin is not a dirty word? There was, you know, in an earlier time period, if you go back to, you know, the 50s and 60s, and I think even many places later than that, that, you know, not everyone remained morally pure, but it was thought as a virtue, especially among young women. But today in our society, it's almost frowned upon. But there's, and I hate to get into that. With that, I do want to say one more thing. This homosexuality and transgender issues, it's just, it may be a modern phenomenon, but I want to point out, you know, about this sexual purity and things like that, that the sexual revolution did not start out with homosexuality. It started out with heterosex outside of marriage and making that more acceptable across our culture, which goes back to when I was growing up in the 1980s and even beyond that. But this has been pushed and pushed and pushed, and that had been going on a long time before you've seen these homosexual issues and these transgender issues take center stage. So this battle's been waging for a long time. But it's not just about things like that. I guess that's an obvious example that comes to my mind. You look at political discourse in our country today, and I don't think it just got bad 2 or 3 years ago when Trump got elected or when Trump was running his campaign. I'll agree he has not made things better in that regard. But really, if you look, and it's been going on for a long time, that people on both sides of the aisle, you know, I'm willing to discuss political issues, but it's amazing to me the hatred and that you see on both sides. If you ever read a political article and then go down to the chats underneath the article, actually you should probably stay away from that, but sometimes I find myself going down to the comment section and seeing people comments, and people, you know, it's people will make remarks, all Republicans are idiots, and this, and then, or maybe it's on the other side, all Democrats are idiots, and they go on to say this, and they actually use a lot stronger words than what I'm using this morning, but some are not appropriate. But it's just the political discourse, and I mean, just the hatred, you know, on people that have different views about you on things, no civility. Again, I don't think that all started with Trump. I think you saw this 4 or 5 years ago. Again, I don't think it has gotten better, but I would say he's probably more of a symptom of what's been going on in our culture for a long time than the cause, because I think, you know, people, it got to this point to where, you know, civility is no longer considered important by many voters on both sides of the aisle, except when the one who's voted in happens to be on the other side of the aisle, and then it becomes very important, but that's beside the point. But I was trying to think about other things, you know, besides sexuality, besides, you know, things you see in political realms and things like that, other issues, and really what I came back to is the first one, is the decline of religion in our culture, and I think the growing secularization, which has been happening for a long time, but I think our country's going to go more and more that way, most likely. The decline of Christian in what some would call first world countries, you know, Europe and North America and places like Japan and other places, the wealthier nations in the world, that religion seems to be on the decline. And of course, as a Christian, I don't think that's a good thing, and I think many people here don't think that is a good thing for our culture and our values and everything else. But this is all to say that there may be many issues going on in our society and many things going on in our society that bother us as Christians. And I think there may even be this feeling that as Christians, we are losing the battle. And I think there is, and there always is in this world, there's always a spiritual battle going on. Rick read for us earlier from Ephesians chapter 6. And he says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so Paul says there's a spiritual struggle going on in the world, and our real battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against other people. It's not against things. There's really this, there's these cosmic forces, the spiritual forces of evil, and there's this battle going on between right and wrong, between good and evil, and that's a battle that was going on in the first century, and that's a battle that's still being waged today. And I think we all recognize that and we all realize that. But sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we look out at the world and it seems like our side is losing. It seems like Christians are losing. And the first thing I would say about that is that this is nothing new. In Sunday morning class for, you know, those who come and things like that. But I've been teaching on the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And John's on the island of Patmos in the Mediterranean because of persecution. And he's writing to churches in Asia Minor, I believe, during the end of, near the end of the first century. And I think that the reason he writes is because some Christians have been thrown in jail. Some have died. And to them, in their day, to churches in Asia Minor, it looked like Satan was winning. And I think that the book of Revelation was written not because things looked good for Christians, but that rather the book of Revelation was written because the opposite was true. Things looked bad for Christians. And I think the point of the book of Revelation is it may look like our side's losing, but God is still in control. And the purpose of the book, I think, was to encourage Christians during dark times. And my point here is that if we look out at our world today, and if sometimes we think look at our world and we think that Christians are losing, that whole thing is nothing new. There has been many times in history where it looked like the spiritual forces of evil were winning against the spiritual forces of good. But what I want to talk about this morning and bring to your attention, it's a simple statement in 1 John chapter 4. And I will say just briefly about the background. He was talking right before this statement, and I want to read the statement to you in a second, but he was talking about false prophets and the Antichrist. I think the Antichrist in 1 John and in the epistles of John has to do with people who are teaching false teachings about Christ, but that's an aside. But he's talking about false prophets. But listen to this statement of his in chapter 4. I think it's a powerful statement. I think it's a comforting statement. Says, little children, you are from God and have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. And when he's talking about the ones in the world, he may be talking about the false prophets, not necessarily Satan per se, but I think it applies to Satan as well. But he tells them the one that is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. And in the context, the one in us is the Spirit of God, is God's Spirit, that God is living in us through the Holy Spirit. And John reminds them they may think they're losing, but we are not losing as long as God is in us. And in our age, in modern culture, The powers of evil may appear, may seem to outweigh the powers of good. And it may very well be true that things get darker before they get better. And the latter getting better may not even happen in our lifetime. But I think it's also important to remember that God, the God we worship and serve, is always more powerful than the forces of evil. I go back to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, it starts out, of course, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all of that. And then you get down to the verse 4, and it talks about this Word, which is talking about Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And I would add, and it never will. The forces of evil will never overcome the one we worship and serve. The forces of evil did not overcome Jesus, and they will not overcome God the Father. You know, and if you look at back at history, I mean, things have often looked dark throughout history. I mean, think about the Bible and think about things that have happened since then. But, you know, you look back during the latter part of the book of Judges. Did things look dark during the latter part of the book of Judges when everyone did what was right in their own eyes? And you have this horrible, horrendous story about this prostitute and this treatment of the prostitute, and she ended up being cut up in pieces, and it's one of the most gruesome stories in all the Bible. Things look pretty dark during the reign of the judges. Were things dark during the period of Ahab and Jezebel, when the prophet Elijah is often running for his life and people are worshiping the Baals right and left, and Elijah thinks, sometimes I might be the only one left? He wasn't, but he was definitely in the minority. Did things look dark when the northern kingdom of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, went into captivity? Or did things look dark when Babylon destroyed Jerusalem in 587 BC? Did things look dark when our Lord and Savior Jesus was nailed to the cross by the powers of evil? Did things look dark in the early 300s AD when Christianity faced its worst and most widespread persecution by the Roman Empire? Did things look dark in the last 100 years during the reign and the terror of Hitler and his Germany tried to basically overtake the world? Did things look dark for Christians in Russia during the persecutions under Stalin? And we could go on and on in history, you know, the French Revolution and so many other times, so many other dark periods in history. There has been a lot of dark days in history. And I'm not saying that's where we're at right now. And I'm not even necessarily saying that that's where we're headed. I'm not a prophet and I don't know exactly what the future holds. I don't know anywhere close to what the future holds. And whether things will get better or get worse in our own country, I don't know. But sometimes we look around us and we get discouraged. And things look bad, and it seems like when we look at our lives and we look at those around us, and sometimes we see things in society, and it seems like the powers of evil are winning. But one thing we're told, and one thing I do know, is that the one who is in us is greater and more powerful than all the forces outside that may challenge us. Before the lesson, we sung the song, "This Is My Father's World," and in the third verse it says, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. Last week when we took Joseph to Sterling, they had a chapel service. It was actually a dedication to the new students that were there. And there was a song that got my attention, and there's some lines, and they were probably kind of the inspiration of the sermon, but there was one line in the song, "And if our God is with us, then what can stand against us?" It's actually it's a pretty powerful and profound idea. It's the song, I looked it up, the title of the song is "Our God" by Chris Tomlin. But the chorus says, "Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God." The song kind of touched and reminded me that no matter how dark the days get around us, our God is still greater than the forces of evil that are at work in the world. Amen. You know, sometimes when we look at the world, we may wonder. I was thinking, you know, what I'm saying this morning really isn't super profound or anything, and most of you already know this. But there may be a few like me who need to be reminded that when we're trying to live a Christian life and things seem dark around us and things, you know, maybe sometimes even our own family aren't going exactly the way we want them to, that we need to be reminded, greater is the one in us than the one who is in the world. If anyone needs to come this morning, I invite you to come while together we stand and we sing.